Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. Take ICOM with you en route, on location, and on the go. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation.
This is Ham Nation, episode 93 for April 10th, 2013. Viewer discretion advised. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another Ham Nation. Boy, we've got a jam-packed show for you tonight. Stuff happening all over the place. And out in Costa Mesa, let's check in with Gordo and see what's going on out there tonight.
Everything is just fine, and the Radio Club of America has one of our locals as a new member, Dave Bremer, 6DBE. Dave, congratulations. We encourage all of you to think about joining Radio Club of America. You'll learn more at the Dayton Ham Mention. Back to you, George.
And let's head down a little further south than where I am. It's about 77 degrees in Jackson tonight. I noticed in the chat room a while ago someone had snow, so hope that passes for you before long. It's starting to become summer here. Everything is yellow. And Don, what does it look like down on the Mississippi coast tonight?
I'm about 60 miles north of the Mississippi coast, about 2.5 hours south of you in Picayune, Mississippi, and it's 74 degrees right now. We had 81 or 82 today, and a little on the overcast side and a little breezy. Supposed to have rain tonight, so anything to make the grass grow. I did actually mow for the first time 2 weekends ago, but it was just the area over the septic tank. So, you know, I got that going for me. Back to you, George.
Yeah, you got to do that. I've kind of got started on mine, too. And I couldn't get the whole yard because part of it was still standing in water. We've had so much rain here lately and got a thunderstorm headed our way tonight. So that'll be later on. We'll have to see how that plays out. What's that? I'm getting a message here that we've got a special report, a breaking news with the FCC. Let's go to Gordo.
All right. Thanks. All right. News from the Federal Communications Commission. This just in. I couldn't believe it. It had an April 1 date, so I had Tony, KI6 Delta Zulu Victor, check it out. Tony runs www.truthorfiction.com. And he said, yep, Gordo, it's real. The Federal Communications Commission seeks comments on the possible elimination of indecency policies that they have, like prohibiting frontal nudity on the air, or saying the F word or the S word on the airwaves, or even fleeting nudity or expletives over their airwaves. The FCC says, we're thinking of dropping this prohibition. Well, let me tell you, ham radio operators are really upset about that. I mean, what the foxtrot? I mean, holy... The FCC asked for comments on, from hams, frontal nudity, and they have it for ladies, but not guys necessarily. The FCC says, and we encourage you to act now on FCC General Docket 1386. And this docket is unbelievable, and it's right here, and it's true. The FCC thinking of letting anything go over the airwaves. So let's all of us as ham operators let the commission know that this frontal nudity is not going to cut it. No F words, no S words. And hams, we won't take this line down. Actually, we need to stand up and have this... I mean, no bad words, no nudity. George, I got to get dressed. This is really bad news if it goes through. Back to you, George.
Oh, boy. Yeah, Gordo, I think that's more information than any of us needed here tonight. Well, I've got a photo. Some characters sent me in an email here earlier this week that if you can flash it up there real quick, Brian, we'll take a look at it. Here's a couple of people that we might know. On the left there is Bob Heil, who's in Las Vegas tonight. And on the right, of course, Joe Walsh. And Joe's out on tour right now, and Bob's been out with him, but Bob took a little break to go out to NAB to host the Ham Reception tonight at the National Association of Broadcasters Convention there in, I'm not even sure what they call it now. It used to be the Las Vegas Hilton. Guys, are you standing by there tonight from Vegas?
All right.
George, yes, yes we are. We're right here. Bob's actually on the microphone right now from NAB.
Yeah. Here we go.
So N9JA on location.
Greetings, everybody, and hello to all of Ham Nation. Okay, everybody, on the count of three, hello, Ham Nation. One, two, three. Hello.
Ham Nation.
All right. There's about, 600 or 800 of our best friends. And with me is, of course, Sarah, who is the president of Ohio Sound. Are you ready for a party?
I am always ready for this party.
Okay, and here is Tim. Tim, hey there. BSW.
Tim Swiger, BSW. Hello, everybody. I don't know if you can get this over here. We're handing out six-pack coolers, but someone has found a way to turn them into hats. Amazing.
That's great. And John Turner is here somewhere. He also sponsors this. Hey, there's John. So thanks, everybody, for being here. We got lots of prizes. I think there's what, John? About 15,000? 16,000. This is John Marino, and he is also a KR10. And so we're off and running here in Las Vegas. Hope everybody on Ham Nation has fun. Sorry that we can't be there live, but hey, we are live. Take care, Gordo, George, everybody. We'll talk to you maybe in a week or so. Bye-bye for now, 7-3.
And I'm going to run real quick to let you guys see the prize tables here. It feels almost like Dayton Hamvention when you start looking at all the names. That look
Wow.
Everybody funneled in through earlier, dropping their tickets in the bowl for them to be drawn. So like they said, over $16,000 worth of prizes. So thank you very much, gentlemen, and hope you have a great time on Ham Nation tonight.
Hello, folks.
All right, thanks, Ray. Glad you could join us tonight. And by the way, Ray is going to be back with us next week with our friend Tim Duffy, K3LR. And they're going to be live from the Twitch studios. Ray and Tim are going to be out there trying to work on that interference problem that's been keeping Leo off HF. You know, when the rigs were set up out there, there was such a high noise level that they've just been sitting there for over a year now with no antenna because it was pretty much pointless. But those two experts are going to be out there next week and trying to calm down some of that interference. They're going to try some new antennas and such, and we've got our fingers crossed that all that's going to work out. So we'll see Ray and Tim Duffy live at the Twitch studios next week. Now, you know, the Dayton Hamvention is coming up real soon here, and we're going to have a big presence there for Ham Nation. We're also going to have a live net going on out there, special event stations during Hamvention this year. And we need a little help coordinating things. As you know, Bob and Gordo and myself and everyone else involved with Ham Nation is really busy out there at Hamvention, getting from one event to the next, and we could sure use a little help. If you're going to be at Hamvention this year, and you could maybe volunteer to help man the booth, the Ham Nation booth, a little bit, it'll be an audio alley right next to Ohio Sound, and we also need someone to kind of help us get in and out of the meeting room when we do the Ham Nation forum there, and it'll only take a few minutes to do that, but they don't give us much time between events there and those meeting rooms. So if we could get a few people to help out with that, it would be great. And if you can help, well, please contact Dale Puckett. That's K0HYD. And his email address is there on the screen, K0HYD@ARRL.net. And Dale is going to be coordinating for us. So thanks for doing that, Dale. And we don't need that many people. You know, we're just going to kind of break it up and let people share it so no one has to sit there for a long period of time and miss all the festivities going on. And as I mentioned a moment ago, we're going to have a special event station going on to celebrate the 100th episode of Ham Nation from the Dayton Hamvention. And our net controls are going to be out there. We're going to have Mike and He's going to be running a special event, call sign W6H. We've also got Dell. He'll be doing N0H. And we've got Al will be doing W1H. And Bill will be doing N5H. So during the hamvention, if you're not able to make it this year, get on the air and listen around a little bit for any of these four different three-letter call signs I just mentioned there, and work the Ham Nation Special Event Station. And Julian is not with us this week. He is out in Vegas, actually, with Bob and Ray right now. And we didn't get to see either one of them, Julian or Ray, but they were there. We talked to him a little bit before the show. And he brought us a few videos this week. This first one is QRP Fun in the Park from Hams to Myrtle Beach.
Well, spring has finally arrived here in Georgia, and there's no better time to grab some friends and to meet at a local park for some low-power QRP fun. And that's exactly what we did last weekend. Step one involves unwinding the many feet of coax and wire antennas. Things usually go faster when a fellow ham helps.
Did a good job of winding it up. Now the tangles again.
Here's an 80-meter end-fed wire antenna going from the picnic table up into the trees. Or take the easy route and simply set up a vertical antenna on the ground. With the antennas up and working, let's start making some contacts. Not everyone has a QRP rig, so I'll just have to turn on the power on my Yaesu FT-897. Besides two CW stations, we had two stations operating digital, in this case, PSK-31, and one station primarily making phone contacts.
Copy 59066.
Whiskey Bravo 4.
An Alpha Kilo in there, Alpha Kilo something. Alpha Kilo 7, Alpha Zulu.
So that was our day of QRP fun in the park. Everyone had a great time and wants to get together again real soon. 73 from KJ4 RHB.
Okay, nice video there, didn't you think, Gordon? But I think I got the titles mixed up a little bit. Do you know what the next one is?
I don't, but it'll be a surprise, but that's okay. That's what makes this show fun. Back to you, George.
Okay, I believe this one is actually what I announced last time, Hams to Myrtle Beach.
Hello, Ham Nation. This is Mike, W2SWR, and I have a great project for all you hams who live in cities that attract vacationers. It's a Ham Radio Visitor's Guide website. I live near the very popular city of Myrtle Beach in South Carolina, and I am the creator and webmaster of the Myrtle Beach Ham Radio Visitor's Guide, hams, the number 2, myrtlebeach.info. Let's check it out.
I started the webpage about 3 years ago, just after I moved to the Myrtle Beach area. I saw many tourists on APRS that were vacationing here, but they weren't on our local repeaters or going to any of our many local ham-related functions that are here throughout the summer. I realized that it took me weeks to get acquainted with the area, and a weekly vacationer just didn't have the chance. The first section of the main page gives you tips on using Echolink in our hotels and RV parks, as well as how to get on the air with D-Star. There is also info on setting up your weather alert radio and info on Skywarn and where to tune in. The rest of the main page has links to local clubs and repeater groups and a schedule of most of the local UHF and VHF nets, followed up by a listing of all of our local hamfests. The repeater coverage page has a unique section which tells hams with HTs which repeaters can be reached in downtown Myrtle Beach. Site reviews and comments, including some from the ARRL and CQ magazine, can be found when clicking on the reviews page. There is a page filled with local gas prices, even a weather page with the latest local forecast and conditions.
And there you have it, Ham Nation. I look forward to seeing your Ham Radio Visitor Guide website. And if you are ever planning to visit the Myrtle Beach area, be sure to check out hamstomyrtlebeach.info. That is hams, the number 2, myrtlebeach.info. This is Mike, W2SWR, saying 73.
Thanks for that video, Mike. That was great and good resources for anyone visiting Myrtle Beach. Gordo, you were at a special event recently, weren't you?
Let's see. The last special event I did was, I can't remember, but it was fun. Back to you, George.
Okay. I thought you made it out to the AES Superfest. But I guess
Actually, we sent Cheryl, and Cheryl's going to give us that full report. Julian and I were tied up doing videos on a big project we're working on, and we'll announce that project soon. So, nope, didn't get a chance to do AES this year, but from what I understand, it was standing room only and great seminars.
Well, then let's you and I take a moment here, or actually 3 moments, to take a look and see what we missed.
Roger that.
Welcome to AES Superfest in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It was a little overcast on Saturday, but that didn't dampen the spirits of the ham radio operators that showed up. When you walked in the front door, you realized that there was a party going on. The front end of the store was very busy. When you entered the back area of the store where the exhibitors were, you realized how busy it really was. Cheryl, K9BIK, from the chat room, was there to man the Ham Nation booth. And me and Sue helped Cheryl with the booth. Ray Novak from ICOM was showing off everything from the V80 Sport to the IC7800. We also got a sneak peek at the IC7100. Phil Parton from Kenwood was showing off the new Kenwood TS990. Dennis Machenbacher from Yaesu was showing off everything from the HTs to the FT9000. There was also the brand new FT3000 from Yaesu. Alenko had a good display of radios as well. MFJ showed up with all the accessories you'd ever want for ham radio, including the amplifiers from Ameritron. League Headquarters was present at Superfest as well, including retiring section manager Don Mikowski, as well as Bob Innerbitzen, with a brief announcement.
Hi, I'm Bob Inderbitson, NQNR, from the ARRL headquarters staff in Newington, Connecticut. Don't forget that next year is ARL's Centennial Convention in Hartford, Connecticut, July 2014. Come to the party. We hope you can make it.
Jim's Engraving came up to show off his beautiful signs. The Youth Amateur Contest Ham Team was also there, as well as Radio Waves and West Mountain Radio. Cable experts showed up with all their different cable and wiring, as well as Time Wave with all their digital electronics that any ham can't do without. And let's not forget the Handy Hams. And that's AES Superfest 2013. Hope we see you here next year.
We want to thank Dan Van Evenhoven, N9LVS, for that great video from AES. You know, Dan does the Ham Nation Wiki. That's, I don't remember the address, but we'll have it here at the end of the show. And Cheryl's going to bring us a little more information about AES Superfest when she gets in here in a few minutes. Gordo, it looks like we did miss a good time.
Wow, it looked like a full show, and you know, every year, Ray and his AES team does such a great job, Ray Grenier, and boy, I think we did miss out, but who knows, maybe next year, bigger and better still yet, AES always continues to surprise us with fun happenings at Superfest, and this year was Cheryl, and what a great job they did in giving us the video. Back to you.
Okay, well, speaking of having a good time, Don, are you with us?
Yeah, and I'd like to thank Gordon West from his report earlier in the show for taking my eyesight away from me and helping me out with my blues career. You can now call me Blind Mississippi Hambone, because after him shirtless, I can't see nothing. So let's just do the news.
I'm glad
show
you
the
recorded
news, Brian.
The news.
Show it. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 1860, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, April 10, 2013. Amateur radio operations on all levels may be impacted by an FCC decision to review the agency's RF exposure policies.
The FCC is reevaluating its RF exposure policies. This, as the agency says, that it wants to update its guidelines and make sure that they comply with the National Environmental Policy Act, or NEPA, requirements for environmental reviews, especially those related to health and safety of RF emissions from just about all types of radio transmitters. And in the inquiry, the FCC seeks public input to determine whether its RF exposure limits and policies need to be reassessed. No matter the outcome, ham radio installations appear likely to be included in any final action. This is because the agency says that it will codify in its rules the extent to which occupation-controlled RF exposure limits apply to amateur radio licensees. More specifically, the FCC says that amateur radio operators are knowledgeable about the appropriate use of their equipment, and as such, that separation distances are likely to be maintained to ensure compliance with the agency's exposure limits. However, since the existing amateur exemptions are based only on transmitter power and do not consider separation distance or antenna gain, exempt transmitting antennas that are unusually close to people could potentially lead to non-compliant exposure levels. The Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Bruce Tennant, K6PZW in Los Angeles.
And this just scratches the surface. Both the report and order and the proposed changes can be read in their entirety at the URL in the printed edition of this week's Amateur Radio Newsline report. We strongly urge you to listen to the complete report in this week's Newsline to see how this may affect amateur radio. Eddie Bennett, G3ZJO of Northampton in the United Kingdom, may now hold a QRP distance record for a micropower transmission using a Raspberry Pi microcomputer as a transmitter. Skeeter Nash, N5ASH.
Bennett reportedly used the 10 milliwatts of RF that can be generated from the Raspberry Pi computer board to be heard at over 2,000 kilometers on the 7 megahertz band. The Raspberry Pi board can be made to operate as a whisper mode transmitter covering low, high, and VHF frequencies up to 250 megahertz. G3ZJO connected the board to a dipole for the 7 and 14 megahertz bands. Among the stations who received his whisper signal on 40 meters was LA9JO at a distance of 2,124 kilometers. On 20 meters, he was heard by LY2BOS at a distance of 1,736 kilometers.
If you want to give MicroPower Raspberry Pi DXing a try, the PE1NNZ code and binary to turn the mini computer into a super QRP signal emitter is available online. Look for the link to the website on the printed edition of this week's Amateur Radio Newsline Report. The tiny and very inexpensive Beifong Dual Band HT has developed a big following among makers and hackers in ham radio. So much so that the DIY site Hackaday reports on how you can write new firmware for the UV3R to make it do things that its developers likely never thought of. You can see for yourself what's going on with this tiny set as the hackers and makers have a literal field day with it. Just go to hackaday.com and type handheld radio in the search box in the upper right corner. You might also want to try a search for ham radio. There's lots more on the Hackaday website for hams with an urge to make some smoke and solder fun of their own. And while we're on the subject of handheld radios, Bill Carmichael has launched a website to provide information on the latest handheld radio technology. The site includes product reviews and articles from radio enthusiasts globally discussing what they consider their own best handheld radio gear. Ham radio-wise, the quad-band Yaesu VX8DR and the dual-band Yaesu FT6DR handhelds are among the radios featured on the site. You can find out more at besthandheldradios.com. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news brought to you each and every week for 35 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation.
Your own ham bone.
What? Oh, sorry. I can't see. And you know, spring is here. It's a great time to take ham radio on the road. And since obviously I'm not going to be driving, I'll have time to do some operating. So if you're looking for a reliable 2-meter mobile for your next trip, looking for a mobile dual bander, D-Star options, en route, on location. I can't see nothing. En route, on location, on the go. ICOM's got you covered with all kinds of mobile radios for you, like the compact military rugged 2-meter 2300H, 65 watts, oversized tuning dial. It's very easy to use. I could use that. Bright, large alphanumeric display, 3 backlight options. Got the CTCSS, the DTCS encoder, decoder, 4.5 watts of loud audio. Very important on the road. A couple of 100 memory channels, memory scan options, great. Also, the ICV8000 is another great 2-meter mobile for you. 75 watts of power, 75 watts. Got a nice die-cast aluminum chassis, fast memory channel scanning, dynamic memory scan. A complete radio control right in the palm of your hand with the hand mic. Backlight customization, you can change the colors on that. Weather scan alert could be very important. They've had that thunder snow out towards Oklahoma and Texas the last day or two. D-Star. D-Star entry-level radio, the ID880H. This is a killer radio, 50 watts, 3 power settings. It's a dual-bander, VHF and UHF, so one band at a time. Great menu structure, easy to programming. It is the mate to the IC80 handheld. Great display, the backlit buttons, the sturdy knobs, over 1,000 memory channels, free programming software available online too. And then there's the 2820H, again, a nice mobile D-Star. This thing is upgradable. Also GPS capable with the optional unit there. 50 watts of output on both VHF and UHF. True dual watch receiver. Two bands simultaneously, even within a single band. If you want to do VHF and VHF or UHF and UHF, one-touch reply function. I mean, you just need to go to icomamerica.com/hamnation. Find out all the information on the great line of ICOM's HF, VHF, UHF radios. It's all there. While you're there, enter to win the ICOM weekly drawing for ICOM swag, like T-shirts and hats. Learn how you can win the monthly grand prize drawing for a free ICOM radio. Go to icomamerica.com/hamnation. You'll find the official rules. Check out all of ICOM's previous drawing winners. Sign up and good luck. And now George has information on the grand prize and the ICOM drawing. Take it away there, my Mississippi brother.
Okay, my brother. We've got a great prize this week, or actually this month. You can enter this week, though, after the show tonight, and you can enter after every Ham Nation, as Don mentioned there, at icomamerica.com/hamnation. But what we've got this week is a great ID51A, that new handheld from ICOM that's got everything under the sun on it. It's got D-Star, GPS, automatic repeater list up, everything that you could want. And it's got extended coverage and display and capabilities without sacrificing size and usability. So if you think you want an ID51, and I know I do, throw your name in the hat. Go to icomamerica.com/hamnation and enter after tonight's show, and you might be the winner for April. Don, I know earlier we just saw your newscast there, and I think there was breaking news that Bill got a hold of earlier this morning that was probably too breaking to get into the newscast today. Did you get that?
As a matter of fact, yeah, and it's information on the Ham of the Year Award from Dayton, and I believe that Bill has an interview with the gentleman who was the winner, and then Dayton pulled that back for one reason or another, and I believe that Bill is going to have an interview with the man. I'm actually recording Newsline for this week. I'll be recording that probably tomorrow, because it'll be a little bit late at 9 o'clock here tonight to get into a two-hour recording session, but I'll be anchoring Newsline, I think, for next week, and I believe Bill will have more information on that, some breaking news. So, yeah, it's kind of odd. They announced the winner of the Amateur of the Year and then pull that back, and so there will be no Amateur of the Year, as far as I know, for this year, George.
Yeah, that's pretty much the news I heard. I think maybe there was some misinformation, not necessarily from the contestant, but somehow in the judging process, I think, things got off kilter, and they just decided they couldn't make a fair decision this year, so they would hold that award rather than start all over on it this year. I don't know.
But, and like I said, Bill has been in touch with the gentleman over in India, I believe it was, and or overseas, and I believe is going to have an interview with him. So watch for that on the upcoming Newsline. It'll be released on Friday night.
Yeah, and thanks for that update, but that's still not the update I've been wanting. And I thought Gordo was going to have it earlier, but he pulled out all the stops, and so we didn't get it then.
Yeah.
But the FCC gave a green light today to Yaesu's new FTM-400DR mobile dual-band digital voice radio. There are several dealers, including HRO, that are already taking pre-orders on it. We don't know what the manufacturer's suggested price or street price will be yet, but Bill's saying it's likely $1,000 or more. And, of course, there's no digital backbone infrastructure for this new technology yet, as there is with D-Star. So we really don't know how that's going to go. But, you know, those first adopters are going to be putting their name in the hat and getting those. And I guess we'll hear more about that in the future. But just wanted to let that out, that they finally did get the go-ahead on that rig. And I guess we ought to do a little smoke and solder now. So we've been building the AM/FM radio kit. We're up to part three now. So let's just get on into it. Tonight on Smoke and Solder, we're going to continue with our Build at Home series with the AM/FM radio kit from parts-express.com. It's part number 320084. A couple of weeks ago, we built the IC audio amplifier stage of the AM/FM radio kit. This week, we're going to build the transistor audio stage that replaces the integrated circuit. So let's put all our components in. We've got a test point to install on here, test point 18. And we've got a 0.001 disc cap. We've got R46. We've got D5. Now, D5 is polarized, so we need to get that in right. There's a little black band on here, and that goes in the direction of the arrow. We've got R49, and we've got two headers. All right, they're putting these in through the top. So these two headers are what will plug into the IC sockets. Test point 16 is the input. And there's a lot of different transistors here, and I sorted them out by types into this little piece of foam so they'd be easier to find. We need a 2N3904. And these are 2N3904s right here. This is Q10, which will go right here. C47, which is a 47 microfarad capacitor. Now this is polarized.
We got the minus side mark. The positive lead is usually the longer one, so we'll install it with the correct polarity. And R48. Now let's solder this part of the components in. These are probably going to fall out, so we'll have to put them back in if they do. And there went one of them right away. So let's do those first. We'll just catch one leg here. And it actually kind of melted through. Now we will probably have to straighten these up as we get going. Do not clip these. So we've done this half. Let's go over here and do the other half. Q11 is another 3904. And we're doing these noting the flat side on the board that we position that with the flat side of the transistor there. Q13 is a JE8550. Now R50. Test point 19, R47. R51, Q12, which is a 2N3906, Q14, which is a JE8050, and finally TP17. Now let's solder this part of the components in. Now we're going to take out the integrated circuit, being careful not to bend the legs on it there, and we're going to replace it with the little transistor board that we just built. So I have a tool for doing this, but I'm going to use a little screwdriver here since that's probably what most of you will use. So we just carefully pry up on it a little bit on each side at a time to kind of do it evenly. And then we can just pull it on out. And there we go. Since this chip is static sensitive, we're going to put it back on the foam that it came with to keep from destroying it. And now our little board, if we'll notice, there's a notch here indicating the notch on the side of the IC socket. That's this side right here. And we're going to look and be sure that the pins line up okay. And a couple of them are bent just a little, so we're going to try to straighten them up here, get them all in a row. And we don't want to destroy our IC socket while we're doing this, so look at what you're doing and be careful. Okay, it's adequately in there now. Let's just look under the bottom there and see. Looks like all of the pins lined up, so we should be good to go. Now, the first test we're going to want to do is the current draw test. So we'll get out our meter. We'll set it up to read amps. And this is the positive side, so we'll put a jumper on the negative side. And jumper that up to the proper terminal here. Flip the amplifier switch on. So we'll measure from the positive terminal of the battery up to the other terminal here on the battery clip. We don't want this to get over 20 milliamps. And we've got 12.5, so we're in good shape there. Now we're going to hook up the audio oscillator and just see if this thing works. We're going to hook it up here at TP2 on the main board, which is the same point that we connected it for the IC amplifier. So it seems like we have a working transistor amplifier here. Now there are a lot of stages in the book here that you can go through to test the DC gain, the AC gain of the unit, as well as the AC bandwidth and distortion, maximum power output and efficiency. A lot of measurements there. I'm not going to cover those here. We covered those last week on the IC stage, so you can work through those and get the values for your amplifier and see that it's performing as it should. So there we have it, a working transistor amplifier. It takes all those parts right there to replace one of these. Let's take a couple of minutes now and talk about how this circuit works. There are three stages here. There's a preamplifier transistor, then there's two driver transistors, and two output transistors. The preamp transistor, Q10, is a Class A amplifier, and it's biased by these two resistors and diode here. The preamp drives Q11 and 12, which are our driver stages, and Q13 and 14 amplify the current of the drivers. The AC gain of the audio amplifier is approximately 100, while the DC gain would be 50. The transistors Q13 and 14 are self-biased so that the voltage their emitters is approximately half of the power supply voltage. R47 provides a feedback loop to the base of Q10, which is biased at about 0.7 volts. Back on the main board and the circuit that we built last time, we'll find C40, which is a coupling capacitor to the audio stage, and that blocks the DC from the input of the amplifier, and C40, here our output capacitor, blocks the DC while allowing the AC to pass to the speaker. So that's it. The transistor amplifier simply plugs in place of the IC amplifier and gives us another circuit that we can play with and measure. So that's it. The transistor amplifier is simply a plug-in replacement for the IC audio amplifier and gives us one more circuit that we can build and test. Next week, we're going to build the AM detector and AGC stage and see how that works. If you'd like to build along at home with us, go to parts-express.com and order part number 320-084.
Well, that's it. It's coming along well. We've got several more stages to build there, and we'll talk about them as we go. And hopefully I'll start hearing from some of you at home. I've heard from a few of you who are building along and having success. And, yes, I do need to clean that pot on my audio oscillator. It's kind of noisy there. In last week's contest, I asked the question, why do we do the current draw measurement first every time? And our winner was Roger KJ6WSO, and he said, the current draw test is executed first to ensure that nothing is shorted out. You're right, Roger. That's the first thing you want to do because you might have time to actually disconnect the power before you burn it up. You might not, but hey, better safe than sorry. And he's going to win the MFJ Universal Belt Clip. It's a little handy-talky holder that will fit any handy-talky, and just clips right on your belt. So congratulations, Roger. We'll be getting that out to you this week. And for next week's contest, we're going to give another copy of Jerry Busting's Constructing HF Wire Antennas book away, a good book to learn the basics of building your own HF antennas just using plain wire. And if you'd like to win that, then we've got an easy one this week. Gordo's here, but Bob's not, so we're going to play Where in the World is Bob Heil? So if you know the answer to that, just send me an email to hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you could be next week's lucky winner. And with one other contest that's about to get started, it's not going yet. You see this IC7200 here behind me. That's that nice little rugged ICOM rig. This one is an olive drab, customized in Gigaparts Custom Shop. They also do it in Vietnam-era camouflage and in the new digital desert style of camouflage. And that's going to be given away soon on Amateur Logic with a drawing being sponsored by ICOM, MFJ, Gigaparts, and Heil Sound. We'll have more details about that coming up soon. But you can check out the next episode of Amateur Logic. It should be out on Friday. And there'll be more details about the contest as it's shaping up. But we're going to give that away to someone for Field Day. That's going to make a great Field Day station. And I believe we've got Cheryl out there somewhere. Cheryl, are you with us tonight?
Yeah. Hi, George. Hi. Hi, Don. And hi, Gordo. Hi, everybody in the chat room and listening to the podcast later on. I just wanted to say it's great to be here tonight. And everybody has loved your presentation tonight, George, as usual. Julian's videos have been very good, and it's just been a really great time all together. But I have a little bit of a report before we're going to move into the questions. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the AES Superfest, and I'm going to ask you guys to roll the pictures if you have a chance to cue them up. So I wanted to just go into for the Ham Nation booth. K9LPK and I arrived on Friday to get things set up, not to mention he's my floor director for the show every week. So Saturday, David also assisted, and along with him, I had two additional ham radio operators join our team. So it happened to be Dan Van Evenhoffen, N9LVS, who provides the Ham Nation Wiki show notes, and I believe the regular ham show notes, along with Sue Zwicker, KC9VLM. So if it wasn't for Sue greeting and helping the visitors, I'd probably have laryngitis and wouldn't be able to even be talking tonight. She wanted me to dub her as Sidekick Sue, so I wanted to mention that Sidekick Sue was a great assistance. And at the same token, Dan manned the booth, and he also went around taking all that video you saw a little bit earlier, and he seemed to do some narrations and other information. So that was really nice. And here's a couple that actually walked up to the booth. You can see they've got a Ham Nation card in hand. They had many different couples. It wasn't just all guys. So they had, I had my new QSL card. I never had one in my life yet, so I have a hard copy of a QSL card. So we did that. There's Sue right there. We had a great time, and Ray provided me this really nice office chair to make me feel right at home there at AES Superfest, and that was really nice of K9KHW to do that. So there's the Ham Nation new card that you see all the guys on the top there. And it looks really nice. It tells you how to get logged into the show and so forth. On the reverse side, it's plastic laminated. So we went on to, there's a couple pictures of me the guy had. And I said, well, you know, I just wanted to say hi. Usually only see me with this little webcam. And it's just, now there's the real QSL card right off the show as you see me there. So that was kind of fun. And if I hear you on the air, might send you a hard copy of that. And here's the mild-mannered men in blue of the ARRL. From left to right is Kermit Carlson, W9KA, the vice director of the Central Division, Rick Roderick, K5UR. He's the first vice president of the ARRL, myself. And then Dick Isley, W9GIG. He's the director of the Central Division. So those are the guys, the men in blue. And we had a little bit of and there's David there with me, and we have the great T-shirt of the 3850 Rocks Club with what we call it, the Kilowatt Alley there, and you can see it right here. Kilowatt Alley, folks, on 3850 for the after show QSO. Sometimes we have to drop down to 3847. They can actually even put your call sign on the sleeve here. Here it is. They embroider it, and that's Gold Medal Ideas. So if you want a shirt like this, because you're on that after show QSO, you can go to goldmedalideas.com/3850. It'll take you right there, and they have different colors and configurations, anything you want. So it's kind of fun to get one of those. So ideally what happened was that the last form of the day usually is the Highland West show, but it ended up being the Radio Waves, which is a great show by Emmett Hoensi, W0QH puts it on. And he invited me to join in and participate and become part of that forum. And of course, we had the pink and fuchsia heart drawing pin at the Ham Nation booth with entry forms on hand, giving away the mystery antenna, which is the W5GI mystery antenna. We had about approximately 250 to 300 entries. And during the forum, Emmett and I had a short discussion of the W5GI mystery antenna. And, you know, basically how that worked a little bit. And I passed that information along to Bob, and he said he knew him too. Both these guys knew this guy. He's a silent key right now. And for the most part, Bob came back today in an email to me, and he says, I don't know how you could possibly talk about how that antenna works. That's why W5GI called it the mystery antenna. I thought that was kind of cute because Bob also K9EID said that he knew him real well too. So it is a really fine antenna. And Emmett worked on projects with W5GI. So we talked about during the forum, he and I discussed the wave pattern, the Smith chart, you know, on how, what the antenna puts out that makes it unique and rather special, and whether or not to use a 1-to-1 or a 4-to-1 balun, depending on the bands or bands you plan to use the most. So that's in there. So I put out a request at the very end of the forum for the youngest ham in the audience to come up and draw the card from the bin. And it just so happened to be a YL ham radio operator too. And it was won by yet another YL. Her husband, Doug Myers, accepted the prize. She was there, but he came up. Maybe she was a little shy or something. But the winner of the W5GI antenna prize was Nancy Myers, K9ANA from Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. And it was drawn by our audience volunteer. I wanted to say a big thank you. I didn't get a chance to at the forum. Another YL, Heather Schultz, KC9QXD. And here's there's actually a, if you wanted to see that particular forum, you can see it on a replay similar to Ham Nation. But if you go to ustream.tv and type in 19th Annual AES Superfest or I've Got This Space Now What? And More is what the title is. So I've Got This Space Now What? And More in parentheses. You can actually see that whole forum. It's really very interesting what Radio Waves puts out. He really did a fine job, Emmett did, on that. So you might want to check it out. What I understand is that day live, there was 5,023 viewers live that watched that. I'm glad I didn't know that. I might have gotten a little bit more nervous than I already am. So anyway, that's pretty much what the show was like. It was such a great time. We can move on to some questions here. So we'll turn it over to some question time here. I'm just going to get some of those available to me here. Question for you, George. It came from N7RAJ. He says, how do you like the 7200 that you're using? And what's your favorite feature of that radio?
7200, my favorite feature, I'm going to say, is just how rugged it's built. I mean, this thing is really tough. And, you know, it's bigger than a mobile. It's smaller than a large base station. But it'll work either way. You could actually run this mobile if you wanted to. But for backpacking, field day, or any outdoor activities, this is probably my first choice right here. It's really up to the job. And the best electrical feature to me is going to be that USB port in the jack, because you can plug it into a computer. You can run it remotely, not even in the shack if you don't want to. You can go out anywhere on the internet and run it remotely, and it gets the audio back and forth all through that one USB port. So pretty easy to set up and get going.
Sounds really nice, George. Thank you for that answer. You know, I had a person mention how come you're not using a wrist strap for sensitive electronic parts? And somebody answered for you, and tell me if you agree with this. First off, we know you're a broadcast engineer, and I think you have a high degree of humidity down in your area. It's kind of not really too dry, right? Is that one of the reasons?
Yeah, and that's the main reason is, there's always high humidity here. Even during the winter, the humidity does not get super low here. And I haven't had a problem with static electricity. It's not been a big problem for me. Now, yeah, I guess I could damage something, and I couldn't suggest that everybody go without a wrist strap. But me, myself, I've never had a problem with it. But one thing I do is before I handle static-sensitive components is I will reach over there and touch some metal somewhere that's grounded near the bench. And if there is a little static or something on my body there, hopefully I'm draining it off there before I grab the part.
Yeah, probably. That's a great idea, too. Thanks for that. And I just wanted to find out, perhaps, Gordo, you might have an answer for this. Hi, and I love your Hawaiian shirt there, Gordo. Do you happen to know of a good site that will walk a new user of D-Star radios for setting them up? Is there any site that you could direct some of our viewers to? We had a question in the chat room with that.
Okay. Yes, I do know of a good site. In fact, what I'll do is I'll announce that next week, in that I want Julian to confirm it. But there are several, but he and I found a great one. Mm. Julian's got all the details. So next week, hang on a week, and we'll give you an answer as to the best D-Star site. And Cheryl, on the 7200, which you see I've got one here as well, we did some testing with that portable, and we found that we could take the voltage down to just above 11 volts, and it would still be cranking without distortion. So what I like about it best for field day is it works well down below its rated voltage at 12.8, down to about 11 without distortion. Back to you.
Well, thanks, Gordo. I appreciate it. Looks like a pretty fine radio to have all that and operate on low power like that, or power that isn't quite up to par that it still puts out. That's a really great thing to know. Now, there is one thing I could just suggest. If you go to ns9rc.org, that's a radio club that I'm part of. I belong to that. It's the North Shore Radio Club, so it's ns9rc.org. You can go in there and navigate. They do have some D-Star instructions that are pretty good. That's how I set up my 2820H, and I actually could do it. So maybe take a look there until you get your answers from Julian and Gordo next time, next week on the comeback. But, you know, it's always a great time, and I enjoy everybody in the chat room and your questions. You know, don't be shy. I'm happy to bring the questions forth to everybody. But all I can say is thank you, AES Superfest, for putting on such a great show. And we really missed Bob and Gordo there. I wanted to mention that I could really feel like you said, I pass a baton to you. But it would have been fun if you were there, too. But we did our best and we had a good time. So, everyone, I will talk to you in the after show QSO. And hopefully 3850 will be clear enough to do that. Or we can go on 3847. Sometimes I drop down just a little bit. But, you know, that's just because I say what did I have on the shirt here? Kilowatt Alley here. Just doesn't mean you have to have a kilowatt to get on. You know, we'll talk anyway. So have a great night, folks. So we'll see you next time on Ham Nation. Take care.
Yeah.
73 from Northeastern Illinois.
Thanks, Cheryl. Yeah, I've only got 800 watts, and they'll talk to me, so don't be shy. Just jump on in there. If they can hear you, they'll talk to you. It's going to be tough in the summer, you know, with the lightning static on 80 meters, but give it a shot. And I just want to give an update here. You know, our friends over at the Dewdrop in Echolink conference server several weeks ago announced that they had some balloons and parachutes and electronic gear left over from a radio club space project, and they wanted to give that away. And I gave you the details here on the show. Well, they did a drawing, and they've awarded that now. And the lucky winner was Chris Campbell, AD5DO, representing the Lowndes County Radio Club in Columbus, Mississippi, right here in my home state. So there's a chance I may get to see that gear yet. So thanks, Steve, W8WFO, and all the guys over at Dewdrop In. Gordo, any final words tonight from Costa Mesa?
Nope, that's it. Thanks, everyone, for watching, and we look forward to seeing as many of you coming up at the Dayton Hamvention. See you there. Back to you, George.
Well, thanks. We look forward to seeing you next week, and Bob may be back with us. We're not sure. He's still kind of in and out for the rest of the month, but he may be at home next week, and if he is, he'll certainly be back in here with us. Don, have you regained your eyesight yet?
No, I'm scarred for life, George. There's another high-altitude ham radio balloon launch actually up in your backyard Saturday, I believe. I'm going to be trying to track the data on HF. So, again, I'd like to thank Gordon West for helping me along with my blues career. You just call me Blind Mississippi Hambone from now on, and I'll be just fine. Thank you very much.
Okay, Don. At least you got something out of it, and maybe not the permanent scar that's affixed in my mind right now after seeing that. There's a balloon launch going in here in Ridgeland. I believe that you're right this weekend, and I usually track that thing on HF and pack it as well, so I'll be giving that a shot again. And let me just make a quick mention here about our after-show nets. We've got the 40-meter net that's going to be on 7.2 272 tonight. They've moved over to that frequency. I hope I'm saying that right. That's what they told me last week. We're going to have a 20-meter net tonight, too, and that's going to be on 14.265. Of course, Cheryl is going to be on 3850 on 80 meters. And the Echolink net is going to be on Star New Drop N Star, or that's node number 355800. And we've got the D-Star net back on. Tom Samasico, KB4HQA, has picked that back up and got it going again. So join us over on Reflector 14 Module C for that. Well, we enjoyed it, everybody. We look forward to seeing you again next week. So from Jackson, Mississippi, 73.